Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Sports in the Mitten, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRag Sports, and it is Friday, October 6th. Sorry for the slight delay, guys. I wanted to go about 12:30, about 15 minutes late, so I do apologize for that. But today's show is going to be all about final thoughts on Michigan versus Michigan State. Kicks off tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. at the Big House. First ever night game between these two. And only the fourth in the history of Michigan Stadium. Of course, you know, the under the lights and stuff like that with Notre Dame. But Michigan State, definitely a new angle to the rivalry with it being at night. MIC Books in here. It's good, Adam. Hi, MIC. Hope you guys are enjoying your Friday. I'm just sitting around a little bit preparing for tomorrow. Obviously, if you're watching the live stream, you can see that I am bumming it right now in a hoodie, but that's okay. I can't tell you guys how much I'm kind of anticipating this, only because now, like, we're starting to hear about weather going to be a factor too, so that always makes it interesting. So it might end up being one of these kind of sloppy things tomorrow night. So Shane Majewski, what's up, Biggs? Mike Sabrowski, what's up, Adam? Very pumped and nervous. Wes Weber, hey Wes, how are you doing? Aaron Wise, what's up, Adam? Hey Aaron, how you guys doing? I want to get into final predictions. I think I've pretty much put mine out there, but today will be final predictions. And again, guys, if you want that free half free Philly or half free chicken sandwich from Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor, 808 State Street, all you have to do is correctly predict the score. So, and actually, since it is rivalry week, we don't always do this, but I'll even give a free sandwich to the closest score. So you don't even have to be dead on. Just don't go over. But I'll even give a free sandwich to the closest score if we don't have an exact score. Chris Hawks in the building. Hey, Chris, how you doing? So, you guys, if you haven't already, tweet me at Adam Biggers with your Michigan and Michigan State score predictions. I'll start off the show right now with mine. I've been saying all week, I think it's a race to two touchdowns and a field goal. I think the Michigan does pull this one off somewhere in the range 17-14, 17-13. I can't decide if I'm going to give Michigan State two touchdowns against this number one ranked total defense, or if I'm going to say Michigan State gets a touchdown and then gets a couple field goals there in the end. Like I said, we've been talking all week about factors and things like that. And if you guys want to have the final discussion on what we believe will be the X factors for tomorrow, I'm all for that. Still want to talk about John O'Korn and Brian Lewerke. You can never talk enough about the quarterbacks, especially with both of these guys being a first-time starter in this rivalry too. So, Aaron Wise starts it out, or Mark Allison, actually. What about the broken leg quarterback? Are we going to break it again? Mark Allison, I don't know where you're going with that angle, but I don't ever advocate, you know, rah-rah, go break a guy's ankle. That's tacky, man. I don't do that. Aaron Wise, do you feel the Michigan players aren't taking this as serious as the state players? They don't seem hyped. Makes me nervous. Aaron, it's a calm confidence. And I mean, and realistically, who has more to prove in this game right now? Michigan State does, by and large. Coming off a 3-9 season, nice win over Iowa. Michigan State's always been a little bit more emotional in this rivalry, I think. At least, you know, since Mark D'Antonio's been there, Spartans been a little more vocal. So, I think the Michigan State, you know, more of a hyped up team. I wouldn't be nervous. I mean, Michigan knows what they have to do. I mean, and really, if you want to see a guy who's hyped, and I just posted this feature today on Chase Winovich, redshirt junior defensive end. He's played tight end. He's played fullback. I mean, he's special teams. He's pretty much done whatever he's had to do to get on the field. And now he's, third in the nation in sacks in the national spotlight. So kind of Chase's rise. And he talked about it. If you want to see a guy who's excited to play tomorrow, just watch that video. Again, that's on my YouTube channel. Please like, subscribe, share. Tell all your friends. Chase Winovich definitely was a great interview. And also read that piece on FanRag Sports. It's on Twitter at @FanRag_U, at FanRag Sports, FanRagSports.com. And again, on my Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Chase is a beast, says Aaron Wise. Yes, he is. And Jim Harbaugh compared Chase's play against Purdue and what he had, like 2.5 sacks and 8 tackles, something like that. He compared his Chase's play against Purdue to that of, you know, J.J. Watt. And Jim Harbaugh, if you guys pay attention to Jim Harbaugh, he does not like to compare and contrast because he says he feels like it diminishes one another. But in this case, I think when it's a comparison of style of play, and he's not saying that Chase is JJ or Chase is going to be style of play motor, comparing that to JJ Watt, I think that is a fair comparison, and I think somebody like Jim Harbaugh would definitely know that. So Shane Majewski says, I'm thinking MSU forces turnovers, wins 17-13. That, I mean, it's going to be a close one, Shane. And with this rain too, we have to consider the rain. How is this going to affect it? And I thought it was going to be low scoring, just off the bat because of two pretty good defenses. Again, Michigan number one ranked total defense in the country. Michigan State's a top five total. I think it's number five right now, total defense. And again, the competition has been different. We've all gone through this. I know a lot of Michigan fans got upset when I tweeted that I think Michigan State was like number nine at the time. Or maybe it was number five, something like that. It's number nine now. Anyway, two top 10 ranked defenses statistically. Michigan, eye test wise, to me, has more speed and more power on defense. But I do think that they're going to kind of negate it a little bit. I do think that Michigan State has some offensive rhythm with Brian Lewerke and Felton Davis. Really good young wide receiver core. Cam Chambers, Hunter Risen. I mean, I expect to see Cody White. Dave Warner, the Spartans offensive coordinator, said this past Saturday after Iowa, he was asked about just, wide receivers in general and how many he's going to take on the road, that sort of thing. He said about six or seven. So I think this is going to be a game that's decided by Brian Lewerke and John O'Korn. Because, again, I think these defenses are kind of going to negate each other, and it's going to be a low-scoring game, and one of these quarterbacks are going to have to make a play, and that's just the way it is. Sean Holst says it's supposed to get pretty windy tomorrow as well. Yeah, and that factors in. I mean, wet, windy, special teams. I mean, we know that. Jeremy Turner, nice, on lunch break. Lunch break. What are you having, Jeremy? I just had a chicken salad. I was trying to keep it healthy on a Friday. Plus, I like chicken salads. I'm pretty good. CJ Mike 1024 says, I'm thinking that DPJ makes a big play, might be a punt return or a long play down the field. That's possible too. And with the slippery conditions, I mean, a guy like Donovan, let's say that he uses that to his advantage. I mean, he's fast, right? I mean, he's one of the fastest players on the field all the time. Four Rivers Barbecue, says Jeremy Reed, Jeremy Turner, send some of that my way, Jeremy. Love a good barbecue. But yeah, with Donovan, I mean, let's say that this is a special teams. Positively affects Donovan. Let's say these conditions can positively affect Donovan, or you could put it on any player really. But it's one of those things. It is or it isn't. I do imagine if it's wet, sloppy out there, there's gonna be poor tackling. We might not see big plays all the time, but the big plays that we do see are probably gonna be a result of a guy like slipping. I mean, something stupid like that. TSYU7 says, I think it's going to be one extreme or the other. Either it's really close or Michigan puts together the performance offensively that we've been waiting for. And that's certainly possible, TSYU7, because we did see pretty good flow on offense in the second half against Purdue. Pretty good flow on offense. And really, I mean, it kind of began in the first half with it was a 10-play, 86-yard drive, and Chris Evans had the 10-yard touchdown to cap that drive, so... Michigan definitely got something going, I think, against Purdue. And I know that, you can look at this in one of two ways. An extra week to prepare, and, a lot of people were talking about Don Brown, especially Don Brown. I think a layoff favors a guy like Don Brown. He's a mad scientist. But at the same time, a lot of these guys at Michigan were saying that they wouldn't mind going. And I talked about this, before the Purdue game and after the Purdue game, that I thought, a lot of these guys will just want to go out and play, especially after this Purdue game. And then you have to wait 12 days or whatever, 2 weeks, almost 13 days. I can't count. And it's a night game on top of that. So it's a little bit longer wait. It's 7.5 hour longer wait than, let's say, that it would be on a noon kickoff. So is the rest versus rust factor going to come into play for Michigan? That's something else that I'm not sure. And I mention that because when we look at offensive rhythm, new quarterback, he got it going, especially with the tight end. Sean McCune and Zach Gentry, I think, are going to be key factors in this game Saturday, tomorrow. But I guess if I'm John O'Korn, I would have liked to go out another week, have another game before Michigan State. But they can't pick the bye or play Michigan State immediately. So, you know, they can't pick the bye. They can't determine the circumstances. They can only do what they can with what they have. So I'll be interested to see that. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be an issue, but it is something I think at least worth considering. Mark Reed, have you heard anything about Quiddy Pay? I have not, Mark. Along the lines of, I have not. CJ Mike 1024. Okay, I already read that one. Aaron Wise, Michigan secondary hasn't been tested at all. I feel MSU may expose that a few times. That will be the difference. 17-9 MSU. Second Michigan State prediction today. And Aaron, I do agree with you to the fact that Michigan has not faced a quarterback who can really stretch a secondary. Brian Lewerke's got a good arm. He's completing like 62.3% of his passes. He's got 8 touchdowns this year. He's not the, and I'm not trying to knock Brian Lewerke. If I'm Michigan's defense, I'm not as afraid of Brian Lewerke's arm as I am his legs. And that's the same thing with Michigan State. If you flip it, the Spartans defense, if I'm the Spartans defense, I don't really fear, and again, it's not a knock, I don't really fear John O'Korn's arm as much as I feel, or I fear, I can talk, I promise, as much as I fear what he can do on his legs when a play breaks down. That's when John O'Korn's super dangerous. Brian Lewerke is the kind of guy, he's got a good arm. He's going to make some nice throws. He did against Iowa. But where Brian can really hurt you, I think, is if with his legs. And he is Michigan State's leading rusher, which is kind of it's a good for Brian thing and kind of a sad for L.J. Scott, Madre London, and Gerald Holmes, because those guys, as a trio, L.J. Scott in particular, have yet to kind of get things going. So, but I don't, like I've mentioned before, I don't think running the ball is going to be as much of a factor in this game. If it is wet, running the ball just simply possession and that kind of thing. But it is going to be one, I think, that's decided by the quarterbacks. Robert Protzman says, most quarterbacks haven't had time to stretch the secondary. And that's another great point, too. Because, I mean, Michigan's defensive line, I mean, look at Chase Winovich, look at Mo Hurst, look at Rashawn Gary. Those guys are in the quarterback's face before, you know, three-step, five-step drop. They're there. So, that again, that's another good point, too. Shane Majewski says he's not going to throw dimes. Pocket containment is huge. Are you talking about Lewerke or O'Korn? Because I think that probably applies to both. Although, John, if you want to talk about dimes, that one that he just dropped in the bucket to Nick Eubanks against Florida, that was a beautiful throw. That was a bit Lewerke, says Shane. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Lewerke, but he's got a good arm. He does. He's got a good arm. And I think arm strength-wise, accuracy-wise, I think that Brian is the best quarterback that Michigan will have faced up to this point. Again, though, I liked Hayden Moore at Cincinnati. I thought Hayden was decent. He just didn't get a chance because, again, Robert brings up the fact that quarterbacks haven't really had a chance, you know, they blink their eyes and they got Mo Hurst in their face. Hopefully they're not blinking, but you get the point. You know, they turn their head real quick and it's Mo, Chase, Rashawn, and bam, they're in a sandwich. So, Shane says, John throws a very catchable ball. He does. John throws a nice ball. When John throws a nice ball, he throws a nice ball, if that makes sense. The one thing I do give an advantage to, though, in terms of at least quarterback-receiver connection, possible chemistry, and only because this is Michigan has a new quarterback now, and not saying that they're not used to John in practice, but I do think that Michigan State's offense, in terms of the passing game, has a slight one-up with Brian Lewerke and Felton Davis, because if you saw those guys this past Saturday against Iowa, I think they're just getting warmed up. That was kind of a primer. I expect Felton Davis, if there's a big play to be made through the air, it's going to be Lewerke to Felton Davis for Michigan State. Sean Hull says, Spate threw dimes to Eubanks, O'Korn threw the dime on the sideline to Tariq. Okay, yeah, my bad. Good job. Sorry, Sean. See, that's why I rely on you guys. You'll correct me if I'm wrong. I appreciate it. Mike Zabrowski, Sean McCune, 5 catches or over. I'm going to go over. I'm going to go 5 or over. I think that's fair. He had 5. He was 5 for 5. Sean hasn't dropped a ball this year. Not one drop. If O'Korn can find, if If O'Korn can get the ball to Sean McCune 5, 6, 7 times, that will be a huge advantage for Michigan's offense, I think. And it is possible. Let's sling it over to Zach, 3, 4, 5 times. Maybe, the tight ends. Let's say O'Korn completes, 22, 23 passes. I wouldn't doubt if half of those are to the tight ends. We're talking 11. I wouldn't doubt if like 11 of those are caught by tight ends. Four Masterful says, a little bit of a concern that if it's wet out there, it will be a lot of predictable first down runs. And Four Masterful is really, in the rain, what can you do? Unless you're Michigan State in 2006 against Notre Dame and you want to throw the ball instead of run the ball. But I won't get into that anyway. Jeremy Turner says, 7 catches this game for Sean. He and Gentry will have big games. I don't think 7 are out of the question. I do think it's definitely possible. Not even possible. I think it's likely that Sean and Zach will have big games. Robert Protsman says, do you expect more quarterback runs by Michigan? JOK is more mobile and it could keep MSU defense off balance. We've talked about this a little bit before, Robert. I don't know if it's necessarily designed runs, because I don't know if that's really part of Pep Hamilton's offense. But when you do have a quarterback like John O'Korn, I mentioned this the other day, maybe put him back in the gun. Maybe we do see a couple draws. But I think the majority, the runs are going to come by broken plays, I think, is what it's going to come down to with John. And he sees the field really well, Harbaugh said. So, it's not like, I don't think John O'Korn is the type of guy that's like, oh, man, I want to personal highlight here, I'm going to try it. If he sees the opportunity, he's going to go. I don't think it's John thinking in his head like, okay, I want to go on the run. I don't know. I'm not John O'Korn, but I think that it's more of a vision thing with him. If he sees a breakdown, he's got the athleticism to go get it. So, Defoe, John O'Korn more accurate than Spate. I haven't seen enough of John yet to say that. But Wilton had the second highest completion percentage in the Big Ten last year. He had the third best quarterback rating. For Masterful, Saturday will be the return of the McDoom sweep. Or maybe DPJ. I can see that too. Because for Masterfuls, I was just talking about wet conditions too. What's a good play to get a defensive line and your linebackers kind of a quick bite? And then if they have to make a quick adjustment, turn around right there in the wet, it might be a little bit, it might be too late. Eddie might be already across the edge and, to the outside and gone 15, 20, 25 yards, something like that. I'm really curious about traction, and I'm wondering if either team's going to, do anything to the cleats as far as modifications go. TSYU7 wants to know, what kind of game do I expect from John O'Korn statistically? I expect a steady game from John. I wouldn't be surprised, if we see him, hovering 60% completion range. Like I said, 22, 23, let's say John's, kind of like what we saw against Purdue. Let's say he's 22 of, 35, something along those lines, 22, 36. Andrew Pearson Thompson says, put McDoone on kick return or something. D8 says, I think with combo of solid defenses and possible rain win, the kicking games will relied upon heavily due to stalled out drives. Warm up that leg, Nordine. But at the same time, that's like the worst conditions you can ask for a kicker. And if there is an advantage in terms of at least holding special teams wise, Quinn Nordine obviously with the leg, but Garrett Moore is one of the best holders in the country. He is a reigning holder of the year, actually. Mike Zabrowski, train formation, I doubt it. I doubt it. But, who knows? Just to get a roar out of the crowd, I don't know. Jim Harbaugh works in mysterious ways. Four Masterful says, I wouldn't mind seeing more screens from us. I don't know if that's an indictment on our offensive line ability to kick out fast enough or not. I think in a game like this, though, wouldn't it kind of benefit a team? Four Masterfuls, boom, quick screen. Running around and I'm imagining, and who knows how much rain there's going to be and how much it affects the turf at Michigan, but just running around in puddles, that kind of stuff, I imagine it's going to be quick. I don't know necessarily if we're going to see, John O'Korn or Brian Lewerke just have to, drop back and wait. I think it's going to be quick. Get the ball out of your hands and Let your athletes make plays and hopefully somebody misses. Diddy 8 says, best self award ever. Yeah, and I mean, if you give it to, I mean, you are the Garrett Morris holder of the year. No question. Defoe, how is Michigan State's offensive line this year? We'll find out. We'll find out tomorrow, right, against arguably the best defensive line in the country. Sean Hull says, would love to see Michigan getting their speed guys in space, especially Evans. And yes, Sean, thanks for mentioning Chris Evans. Guys, I wrote a feature yesterday. I wrote it 2 days ago. I posted yesterday on Chris Evans. Check those out. The one on Chris Evans, the one on Chase Winovich. Really had a lot of fun with those. Chris Evans scored a touchdown on the first play of his very first varsity game. It was first play, first drive. It was in 2013, Ben Davis versus Cathedral, which is in Indianapolis. It's a state power. And the quarterback, and I'm quoting Coach Mike Kirshner here, he said the quarterback hit Chris in stride, and he went 80 yards. True story. Four Masterful says, Allen at center is a stud. Everyone else is questionable at Defoe. And Four Masterful, Brian Allen is like the guy, I think, that you mentioned on the Spartans' offensive line. I think Cole Chewins has some potential. I think David Beadle has some potential. Both those guys are Clarkston graduates. I graduated from Clarkston High School. Has nothing to do with that, of course, but I'm saying I like Cole. Cole was actually recruited as a tight end. Ball State was after him. He was a MAC. He was a MAC tight end, basically. And then he committed to Michigan State. He bulked up. And now he's starting left tackle. Defoe, U of M go 3-3-5s. Four down. Hurst versus Allen will be a good one. Sean Holst, yeah, that Evans article is great stuff. I appreciate it, Sean. Yeah, guys, if you get a chance, check it out. It's on my Twitter, at AdamBiggers81. Mike Zabrowski says, got to get back to work. I'll catch the rest later. Go Blue. Keep up the great work, Adam. Thanks, Mike. Hey, if it helps, tell your boss it's okay if you stick around. Who's in agreement? Marcel Woods, what do you think? Let's lobby to Mike's boss. He could stick around for a little bit. I'm going to keep it short, too, guys, because I do have some things to do today. And, again, a lot of preparation for tomorrow's game. If you're tailgating, I've mentioned this. So tailgating basically starts at noon. The golf course right across from Michigan Stadium opens at noon. The parking lot at Ann Arbor Pioneer opens at noon as well. So be careful. Be smart. It's going to be a full day of festivities for a lot of people. Diddy 8 says, boss must be a Sparty fan. Four Masterfuls, who is a special guest for this game? I don't know. I've been kind of offline all morning today. I've heard a couple things, but I'm not sure. I'll say this, though, as far as special guests, I plan on hooking up with Chris Howard. Guys, if you're a Michigan fan, you remember Chris. He was a leading rusher on the 97 National Championship team. I meant to get with him in Dallas, but he was a little bit far, and it was really hot, and the best way to get there was actually walking, and I wasn't going to do that so I was like shirt and tie and everything. So anyway, I plan to meet up with Chris at some point tomorrow and probably do like a, you know, kind of a final preview. Probably just talk to him more about the rivalry itself. Not so much like a podcast like how we normally do that. So Grant Canfield, what jersey color will Michigan wear? Just home uniform. There is no alternate. Harbaugh said no alternate. Aaron Wise says, why hasn't Michigan defense been featured much on the national picture? Because of the opponents? I'll hear one, what is Alabama and Clemson defenses? But yeah, and you hear a lot about Clemson having the best defense in the country. I think it is Michigan, though. Grant Canfield says, love the maze. I liked the maze against Florida. I wanted to like maybe see a little bit more blue accent on it because it was a lot of maze, but I liked the uniforms. I know traditionalists didn't really care for them, and maybe they grew on some people, but that's the way of the world now. College football, alternates for special games, that kind of stuff. I mean, Michigan's done alternates before, so. I like Michigan State, the white helmet. They wore that against Iowa. I think that's a cool look. Ford Masterful says, if we win the toss, do you think we bring out the offense first as a show of confidence for John O'Korn and also a way to keep the defense off the field as much as possible? I imagine if they win the toss, they'll defer. I think that probably is more in line with Jim Harbaugh's football sensibilities. Leo Ezom, hey, you're back. He says, Nordine needs a big game. Quinn Quinn might get, I mean, this might be one of those special teams games too, guys. I mean, there's so many, it could be, it might, maybe with this. The weather does make it unpredictable. The rivalry always makes it unpredictable. And real quick, guys, just since 2008, 2007 was Mark D'Antonio's first year at Michigan State, so that's where I'm going to start. Michigan, number 14 ranked Michigan, won that game 28-24. In 2008, unranked Michigan State, and that was in East Lansing. In 2008, in Ann Arbor, unranked Michigan State won 35-21. In 2009, in East Lansing, unranked Michigan State won 26-20 overtime. You remember that Larry Caper run. 2010, in Ann Arbor, number 17, Michigan State beat Michigan 34-17. In 2011, number 23 in East Lansing, number 23, Michigan State beat Michigan 28-14. In 2012, in Ann Arbor, number 23, Michigan beat Michigan State 12-10. And you guys remember that Gibbons field goal. In 2013, in East Lansing, number 22, Michigan State won 29-6. You guys remember that? That was Devin Gardner. Devin Gardner was never the same after that game. I maintain that Michigan State that day broke Devin Gardner's confidence and effectively took him off the, whatever you want to call it, the uptick. I thought Devin had a lot of potential. And I don't know, I think that game did break his confidence. Anyway, 2014, number 8, Michigan State, and this was in East Lansing, won 35-11. 2015, number 7, Michigan State in Ann Arbor, beat Michigan 27-23. And 2016, in East Lansing, number 2 ranked Michigan beat Michigan State 32-23. And you guys will remember Jabril on that 2-point conversion and spreading the wings and breaking the sound barrier right there as he crossed the finish line. Classic, classic, iconic. When we think of like the imagery from Michigan, Michigan State, even in the past couple years. I mean, if you're a State fan, you'll remember the 2015. Any sequence from that, the botched punt. If you're a Michigan fan, I think you remember last year, and that was a run, Jabril, I think that's when Jim Harbaugh said that Jabril broke the sound barrier, if I'm not mistaken. So, a couple more questions. Any concerns, guys? Sean Holst says, gotta go, beat State, keep Paul in Ann Arbor. Thanks for joining, Sean. Marcel Wood says, I love Michigan, but Clemson has literally 5 or 6 D linemen that will play at a high level in the NFL. That's true. Four Masterfuls of Runyon is essentially the replacement for Onwenu when he struggles. Who comes in for Eluzio when he has struggles? Probably Juwan Bushel-Beatty. But I'm wondering if we're not going to see John at right tackle. I really am. I'm going to check Twitter. No questions on Twitter. And we're at 28 minutes. I think that's a nice round number, guys. Let's go ahead and end this one. I appreciate it. Great conversation, as usual. I appreciate all the comments, guys. And again, if you want the audio only version, I tweeted out the link. It's on iTunes. Go ahead and download them there for free. On Google Play, on the Blog Talk Radio Network, FanRag Sports Channel. Of course, a live stream here on my YouTube channel. So please like, subscribe, share. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Follow the podcast at MittensportsMI. Follow FanRag Sports at Fanrag_U and at FanRag Sports, FanRagSports.com. And again, I want to thank Tim and Keith at Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. And good luck to whoever predicts the close score. Four Masterful says 26-13 Michigan. Didier says have fun tomorrow, Adam. Aaron Wise thinks Adam go blue. TSYU7, great job. And it's SIU7. All right, I wasn't sure. I didn't know if those were like an issue, initials or whatever. So if I butcher your guys' username, let me know. Apologize for that, SIU7. So anyway, guys, if you're going to East Lansing tomorrow, or Ann Arbor rather, be safe, be smart, be courteous. And don't pay, you know, on both sides, there's always that drunk fan or that super cocky fan or whatever. And I guess this was more of a message to my friend Nate Tuttle. If you guys remember Nate from the Dallas trip. I had to pull Nate away as we're walking away from the game from a Florida fan. And Nate was being nice. He's like, hey, you guys fought hard, good game, you know. And the Florida fan told him, F you. And Nate went into Nate mode for a second. I said, no, come on, man, we got to go. So anyway, don't do that tomorrow. Have a great weekend. And remember, this is why we watch college football. Rivalries like this make the sport what it is. So enjoy it. I know I will. Have a great Friday, guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow, hopefully, with Chris Howard of the 1997 National Championship Michigan Wolverines team. So appreciate it, guys. Thanks.